no constitutional objection to the study of religion, to the study of history, to the study of biblical history, for example, to the study of the Bible as a book of literature. What we have here, of course, is a religious ceremony set up by the school, conducted by the school, and by very strong implication, having the support and the favor of the school. And the ceremony is sectarian, as any ceremony must be. It has apparently become impossible in the modern age, with the numerous sects and the numerous religions, to have a ceremony which is not sectarian. They were not able to accomplish it, I would say, in my own mind, even in the Regent's Prayer in New York, and where we have a ceremony set up that is a different thing from a study. We expressly disclaim any objection to any study of any sort, including comparative religions or whatever they might be called in junior high school or high school phraseology, any subject.
There's one factor in this case. It was present in Angola. It was not present here. There's no suggestion that the state itself composed this prayer.
No, Your Honor. As I read Angola, the phrase composed or sanctioned would seem to include sanctioning, would seem to me to indicate choosing or favoring or allowing or permitting any particular prayer. And it seems to me that to interpret Angle as having eliminated only composed prayers overlooks the language in Angle concerning sanctioned prayers. This is implied from the rule itself, Your Honor, and from the selection of the exercise, as I recall. I don't believe our petition called it that. However, the respondent's brief did call it a devotional exercise at one point. I'm fairly certain. So. The conclusion that it seems to me that the courts have come to in this country is that, to quote Mr. Justice Rutledge and Everson, as he was reiterated in Angle, the price of religious freedom is doubled. It is that the church and religion shall live both within that freedom and upon that freedom. Yet, in spite of the fact that doctrine has become established, it would seem to me that the church and the state should be separated. There has grown up this practice in the Maryland schools, and it's been tolerated and blinked at for so long that the respondents have now denominated a tradition. Well, I don't think, if Your Honors please, that we can repeal the Constitution by this particular means. A matter which is once unconstitutional does not become constitutional by being allowed to persist, even though it has continued almost as long as Plessy versus Ferguson had continued. And this particular practice has continued without even a Plessy versus Ferguson to support it. Our society develops, it matures, its institutions develop, they change. The practice which one generation had not the courage to question, much less overturn, it seems to me, must, if we are to advance, be questioned by the next generation. And that generation must even summons up the courage to overturn certain practices within the constitutional framework when the issue is put to them. Of course, we are asked, how can religious men have such an attitude? And we are told that the answer to this is that those who urge the position of the petitioners here not only are not religious, but they have set themselves in opposition to religion. And I respectfully say, Your Honors, please, that this is completely untrue. It is unreasonable to say this, as it is unreasonable to say that a person who is opposed to unreasonable searches and seizures is opposed to law enforcement, or that a person who is opposed to censorship is opposed to purity. Arguments such as this, I feel, leap a continent to vault a stone. They are non-sequiturs. The respondents, it seems to me perhaps, have the mark of being something like non-religious, for they have said in their brief at page 28 that ceremony has come to have a meaning which transcends mere religiousness. And I don't wish to cast reflections on the particular language that they choose, but it seems to me that infinity plus one is still infinity, and I don't know that there is anything which can transcend religiousness. The petitioners certainly do not urge that there is any such thing. The petitioners are merely here asking that an injury which they have suffered and which they say is guaranteed under the Constitution be redressed. The injury is very real. Now, upon the pleadings in this case, which are before the court on demur, there can be no argument but that the petitioners have suffered a substantial personal detriment. They claim, and the respondent by their demur have admitted, that William Murray, the infant plaintiff, has suffered substantially from the conduct of these exercises. Specifically, the allegations state that he has lost caste, that he has been regarded with aversion by his fellows, that he has been subjected to reproach and insult, and that doubt has been raised as to his morality and good citizenship. And though all these injuries may be in the psychological or the intangible sphere, yet they are certainly as substantial an injury as one could perhaps allege.
This case is here on a demur.
Yes.
So there's no evidence at all in support of those allegations, and on the contrary, there's no evidence at all that that any child or that the parents of any child wanted their children, in the free exercise of their religion, wanted their children to say this morning prayer in school. Is there?
Well, Your Honor, I think it may be easily assumed that the majority of parents would like to have their children say this prayer in the school.
Well, then if we strike this provision down, we're interfering with the free exercise of their religion, aren't we?
Well, Your Honor, I think that the police power can yield to the necessity that the public be protected from violence. That is freedom of speech would yield to the police power. Freedom of assembly would yield to the right of the public to its property protected against riots. But this is a new concept to me, that a person's free exercise of religion or his right to be unburdened or free of an establishment of religion must yield to the free exercise of religion of other parties. When these other parties are in the public school, they're saying to the petitioner, give us your support, give us your taxes, give us your faith and confidence and trust in the schools, which incidentally the petitioners do give wholeheartedly, and they say that the taxing part of what they give is but a mere incidental to the other things that they give, which is a belief in the importance in our society of secular public schools. They give all this. The majority says that in return for this, we wish to run a religious exercise which causes you these substantial detriments. I don't think that the free exercise of the majority, the right to the free exercise, can work that way, because in exercising its right, it is establishing a religion in the public school.